Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. I tell you what, it is drop dead gorgeous in Florida. It's been a great morning. You know, there's an old army saying that says we do more before the sun comes up than most people do in a day. And although I'm not in the army, the Marine Corps, we're the same way. And I've been up and at it since about 5 o'clock this morning. I've already talked to Harry Wilkes. I've talked to my brother. I've done a lot of journaling. Did some social network. I mean, it's a blast. But today we're back in Robert's book. We're actually on chapter 7. We got 3 or 4 more chapters to go. This chapter today just kicks butt. It's in the book, The Other 8 Hours, Maximize Your Free Time and Create New Wealth and Purpose. And it really gets into what we as individuals have to know. And I'm going to jump right into this. Have your pen and paper ready because this is a lot of information. This is called the Creator Rules, 8 Rules to Minimize Risk and Maximize Success. And listen, if you're a network marketer on here today, this is a must for you. You have to get these rules down. This is not something you're going to hear in any other training. It's not something that you're going to find that's just old, rehashed stuff. This is powerful. As a creator, Robert writes this in this book, listen to this, as a creator, it is easy to jump into a project, but if you don't know the rules of the game, you can waste a tremendous amount of time and money. You can trick yourself into thinking that all of your activity is getting when it truly might not be. This is the crazy thing about this. Just because you're working hard and working a lot, you're getting closer to your goal. You must make sure that every action gets you one step closer to where you want to be. Folks, this is so important. I see this constantly in direct sales. I see it in people trying to launch a business. I see it here in Destin when people open up restaurants in the off-season thinking they're going to become millionaires in the on-season. It doesn't work. So get your pen ready. Write down rule number 1. Keep your day job. I'll say that again. Keep your day job. Guys, listen to me. This is the first rule that you have to follow. So many times I see entrepreneurs jump into business. They're all excited. They quit their job and they start. And then all of a sudden the savings is gone. The money's gone. The wife is upset. Keep your day job. Robert writes it this way. The first rule is that you still need to follow the traditional financial planning rules, at least until you've achieved success with a new venture. You need to keep working hard and saving money. You're going to need a stable income from your job, and you need some extra money to get started. This will provide you with the safety net while you transform into a creator. Here's the frustrating part. In network marketing, there's these myths. Matter of fact, I may do a whole training on the myths of network marketing. And they tell you, burn your bridges. Go for it. This is your plan B. Now, I don't necessarily totally disagree with that, but you don't tell somebody that right out of the gate. You make sure that there's that safety net. You make sure you're doing it right. You make sure that that's the company that you want to be with, because every time you switch a company, it takes you 6 months to get the momentum going again. That's just the way it works. So rule number 1, keep your day job. Rule number 2, actually, wait a minute. I'm going to back up a minute because I think this is good. Under rule number 1 still, listen to what he writes here. He said, my mother-in-law recently moved to the suburbs from the suburbs of Chicago to Southern California, and she expressed some concern about driving in this unfamiliar city. About a week after she moved, she took a drive. Several hours passed. Then we begin to get worried. We knew she'd be fine, but we were concerned that she would be lost and getting anxious. Finally, well after sunset, she bounced into the house and said she had had a wonderful time, found a lot of new shops to visit. When we told her we were worried that she was lost, she just laughed and said, I discovered the home button. See, her car navigation system allowed her to program in her address no matter where she was. She could not get lost. All she had to do was follow the direction. The traditional, this is what I want you to remember. The traditional rules in financial planning are your home button. When you use them, You can take a turn down a dark street, explore new areas, because you always know how to get home. Rule number one, keep your day job. That's your homing button. You don't want to lose that. Rule number two, go nuclear. Now, I think this is great, because most people don't understand. If you're keeping your day job and you're focused on your day job, how are you going to go nuclear part-time? Listen to what he writes. Since we've got our home button with traditional financial planning, whatever we create in the other 8 hours needs to be something that is quick and ideally provides us with a disproportionate result. Now, here's what he means. The time, the energy, and the investment that you put into it should be disproportionate to the results you receive. Now, does that not sound like network marketing? Think about this for a second. For a couple $100 a month, you have the opportunity to make an ungodly amount of income. That's just raw and uncut. That's exactly what it amounts to. Now, here's the fun part. You've got four different ways that you can build any business whatsoever. You can put in maximum effort and get minimum results. You can put in maximum effort and get maximum results. You can put in minimum effort and get minimum results. Or listen to this. You can put in minimum effort and get maximum results. And one of the things that I think is so sweet in this thing is as he breaks it down. See, maximum effort and maximum results are going to do you nothing but burn you out. And he writes it this way. Here you're swinging for the fences. You're going to hit a home run, strike out hard, one of the two. It's all or nothing. When it works, it's great. The feeling of satisfaction from giving it everything that you've got, watching it take off, and finally hitting success is great. However, the problem is that there's no leverage. And if you strike out, the repercussions can be devastating. How many times have you gone into a network marketing business, or any business for that matter? You are stoked. You are rocking. You think this thing's going to be great because you've listened to all the hype. You've seen all the success stories. You've watched all the Uplines DVDs. You know it's going to work. You go out and talk to a couple, three people, and they tell you, get out of my face. What happens? You get devastated. You put in your maximum effort. You're going for maximum results, and it doesn't work. Second one's minimal results, minimum effort. He goes, I'm not a huge fan of this approach, but it can be a safe way to get your feet wet. Now, listen to his little story here. He said, when I was in college, I became a distributor for Amway. I can't even begin to describe the excitement that I felt and the transformation that it took place in my outlook and perspective. He said, I'd never taken a business on or economics class, but suddenly I had my own business. Now, here's the key. Listen to this. I was responsible for marketing and sales. I became an entrepreneur, and I felt amazing. Although I didn't make any money from my new business, I learned a great deal. Folks, this is going to happen all the time. It's not going to be Amway. It's not going to be, I mean, it could be Amway. It could be Zango. It could be Monavi. It could be GI Connect. It could be any of the great companies out there. You may not make a dime. But if you realize that you're responsible for the sales, for the marketing, for the training, for your personal growth, all of a sudden, something's there. And this is minimum effort with minimum results. Because if you just put in the minimum, you're going to get back the minimum. That's just the way it works. See, you've got to grow yourself if you're going to grow other people. Here's the other one that he writes about. Minimum effort, maximum results. He goes, now we're talking. This is the high leverage activities where there is a disproportionate impact for the effort that you invest. Successful people in business, I don't care what it is, understand how to leverage their time, energy, and money 100% of the time. That may be recruiting new people. That may be making sure that the location is correct for your business, whatever the case may be. That's what you have to make sure that you're doing. You have to make sure. And here's the little story that he uses. He says, there are high leverage activities where there is a disproportionate impact to the effort you invest. What is a disproportionate impact? How far will a gallon of gas take you? If you drive to Paris, Texas, and you live outside of it, maybe you'll get 40 miles. If you live in the Rocky Mountains, you may not get from Denver to Pike Pikes Peak or Denver to Aspen because of the mountains. But now listen, he said, instead of a gallon of gas, let's say you use a gallon of uranium. How far will this take you? Now this is powerful, listen to this. A gallon of uranium will take you from Los Angeles to New York and back 34,670 times. It'll take you around the Earth 41,000 times. It'll take you to the moon and back 2,600 times. It'd take you to the sun and back 19 times. Same gallon, different fuel. Think about that. It's the fuel that you put into it. Why would you want to put in just what you can put in when you can maximize your results with minimum effort by leveraging your time, energy, and effort? See, that's the key, folks. That's what you've got to look at. That's the power behind what we're doing. That's the power of what this book is about. This is how you build your business. Rule number three, know your HABU. Now, most people don't know what HABU stands for, so I'm going to explain it to you because I'm so smart, I didn't have a clue what it meant. In real estate, there's a concept called highest and best use, HABU, H-A-B-U. Properties are valued based on the best use of the land that will produce the highest value. So think about this. When you're using the other 8 hours to create, you must focus on your HABU. Now, here's what your personal HABU is. It's your unique talents, skills, experience that can produce the most value. Jim and I've got a friend of ours, Tom Chenault. I don't know many people that are better than Tom when it comes to literally attracting rock-solid talent to his business. He's excellent at that. He can get on a radio show. He can talk. He can build up people. He's passionate about that. But he'd be the first to tell you when it comes to training, that's one of his weaknesses. So he always tries to surround himself with rock-solid trainers. See, you know what your HABU is. There's a lot of people that can't do videos. There's a lot of people that can't do radio. They get tongue-tied. My wife does not like to speak in public. She doesn't like to be in crowds. She does better just one-on-one. But she can write books that can change a woman's life. See, know where your talents lie. That's the kicker right there. Part of the reason that you want to be able to use leverage, part of the reason that you want to build relationships is so that you have the flexibility to help them and yourself be your best. When you put a team, we call it the law of connection. When you put a team of people around you where the connection is like second nature, the sky is the limit on what you can do, bar none. You see this in every industry out there. You see it in every successful business, every successful nonprofit organization. Matter of fact, I'm going to use a current situation. If you watch the news at all, you know that there's a health care bill that no matter what side of the aisle you're on, this thing was ramrodded and crammed down the throats of the American people. We never had a chance to vote. The states didn't get to ratify it. There was nothing. It was just boom. And now what do you see all the time on TV? You see negative, you see people trying to defend why they voted for it or why they didn't vote for it. And I'm not here to debate this. What I'm saying is, this is what you're seeing. But when people are together as a team, when everybody has the buy-in, all of a sudden, you see everybody working in their HABU and it skyrockets, things go along. And here's one of the greatest places that you'll see this was when Ronald Reagan was the president of the United States. He had the highest popularity rating of anybody, even through all of the scandals and stuff that went on. People loved him because he went to the people and he brought them in. When you're doing something on your team, when the company's going to make a change, you make sure you get team buy-in. It's the only way you're going to make this happen the way it needs to. Rule number four, limit risk. Now, unless you're sports challenged and you don't know anything about sports, most of us understand that three strikes and you're out. That's just, we see it all the time, not just in sports, but we see it in crime. You know, they'll tell you, hey, if you're a three-strike criminal, you're going away forever. But what if it doesn't have to be that way? Robert writes this is so good. What if you could swing and swing and swing without ever striking out? It's the concept that he says, that he calls strike four. What would you do? Now think about this little sentence. What would you do if you knew you could never strike out? That would change your whole paradigm. How many things would you then be willing to risk, you'd be willing to go for? This is how Robert writes it. If you start a new venture without first thinking about and limiting the risk, you can put you and your finances in jeopardy. Worse than that, you can put your relationships hugely in jeopardy. Here's a scenario that gets played out all the time. Think about this. Someone gets an idea, talks to their spouse about getting into business. They both get excited. They pump their heart and soul into it. They quit their jobs. They delete their savings. They cash in their investments. They put a second mortgage on the house. Their retirement accounts are borrowed against. But whatever reason, it fails. Doesn't matter why, the business fails. Now there's no job, no income, no savings. It becomes harder and harder to pay the bills. They use credit cards to buy their groceries and to pay the mortgage. Tensions rise. The stress builds, leading to what? Massive arguments and finally divorce. How many times has something like that happened? How many times? Maybe it was small. Maybe you started into a network marketing venture and you didn't get out of the business in time, or you bought into the hype, so you went out and you bought $1,000 up front, now it's sitting in the garage 14 years later. Now your wife looks at you and says, or your husband, we're not doing that again. Don't even come to me. No, no. That's crazy. What started out as a way to build a dream life ended up in a freaking nightmare on Elm Street. How could it be different? What could you do? Think about this for a second. How can you limit your risk and yet still go for your dream? Change your life forever. Give your kids and your mom and dad something they never dreamed of. Underneath, rule number four, I want you to write this. Number one, or put A, just put A. That'll make it easier for you to realize. Follow creator rule number one. Keep your day job. There's no reason to quit doing a day job. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how stressed you are. Until your additional income from your business, whether it's network marketing, whether it's a store that you're opening up, doesn't matter. Until that income has superseded what you make a month for at least 6 months, and you've put that money away, don't you quit your day job. And I tell you what, if you've got tenure in something, if you're about to retire, you shouldn't quit anyway. You should just keep on working until you get that retirement coming in, and then you can go full-time in your venture. B, use other people's talents. You don't have to do it all. Do like Tom Chenault does. Go out and find some trainers to help you build your team. Go out and use some other things. If, you know, they've got these things called Elance and stuff. If you can't write, you're not a copywriter, then go out and hire somebody to do it for you. Do what you're good at and leverage your time and use other people's talents. C, use other people's money. It's called OPM. If you buy this book, you can go back to the FAQ chapter and read about this. If you've got something really good going on and you're excited about it, bring in a partner. I've got a friend of mine who's a top player over at a company called Sierras Living. He knew what he wanted to do. The company was in pre-launch, but he saw an opportunity. He went out and found a partner that was would be willing to invest $50,000 for them to build a business that would bring them in close to $1 million a year. Small investment, but he had the cash. Today, they're the top producers in that company. You can't go wrong. I mean, that you go out and you find what you got to do. Negotiate fiercely. You know, if you're out there working with people and you want to build something and you're trying to get people on and you know that you're competing against another great leader, then be competitive. This is a business. You know, there's this thing that goes around, and I'm gonna digress to network marketing for a minute. There's a thing where people treat it like a hobby, and they try to change the rules and they try to make it idealistic all the time. You can't be that way. It's business, plain and simple. The companies are going to do things that you don't like. You as a distributor are going to do things they don't like. I've got a good friend of mine that called me on the phone yesterday and said, Troy, the company's doing all this stuff, but I don't like it. What do I do? I said, brand yourself as an expert. And that's what they're doing. They happen to be in the high-end technology industry, and they've decided to create their own brand. And I'm going to help her do that because that's what it's about. This way, if this company, who now she looks at as just a vendor, a strategic partner, if they decide to go a different direction, she'll go find a new strategic partner. It's the way it is. But she's still building her professionalism. You got to do this if you're going to make it work. See, piece the pieces together on the team. Don't just go and recruit everybody, slap them up against the wall. Don't go hire everybody if you're doing a brick-and-mortar business. Know what you want and then look for people to fill those positions. The best way to grow something. I mean, it's unbelievable. Limit your liability. Decide how much you're gonna put in. You know, I suggest 90 days to 6 months. Now, network marketing, you'll hear another myth. Here's another myth. You got to give it 12 months. You got to give it 3 months. No, you don't. I mean, 3 years. No, you do not. If the SBA statistics show that most businesses are out of business in a year and 50% of the businesses are out of business in 5 years, don't get caught up in the cockamamie hype that you got to stay on auto ship. What I want you to do is decide, am I going to give it 90 days, 6 months, or a year, and then you commit to that. And you start building your business. That's the name of the game. And lastly, under number four, well, actually, there's two more I'm going to give you. Number right here is make small bets. And I'm not a big gambler, but you got to take a little risk sometimes. And that's where you decide: do I want to be on the minimal model ship, or am I going to go halfway up, or am I going to go to the full bore? How much money am I going to invest in this to make it happen, to know that I've hit my plateau and I'm either getting money back or I'm not? See, anything that you do in business, if you have the intent to make a profit, you can write it off on your taxes. It's not a hobby. So at least you're going to get a little bit of something back on it. And lastly, and this is the one that's most important, and I train on this constantly, cut your losses. Live to fight another day. There's not a branch of the military in the United States that has a 100% battle win. Doesn't happen. But I can tell you what, you can ask any branch of the service, have you ever lost a war? And with a big smile on their face, they'll say, absolutely not, no matter what the politicians want to tell you. Because they know you fight, you move, you fight, you move, and you win the war. It's not about the battles. Those are always cool, and that's great, but it's about winning the war. Cut your losses. Know how far you can go, and that's it. Rule number five, swing often. This is great right here. This is powerful. Creators are painfully aware that strikes are inevitable. In other words, you're going to fail sometimes. You can't change that. You will swing and you will miss. It doesn't matter how gifted you are, how much money you have, how many self-improvement programs you've made. Doesn't matter if you're the mentor of mentors. Sometimes you're just not going to get there. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter. Because if you're content on earning just a little bit of extra money and you focus on that, eventually that's what you're going to do. It's going to be a great thing. You're going to get some strike, but sooner or later you're going to be making $300-$500 extra a month. It's going to be consistent. You're going to be cranking. If you're one of these people that said, no, I want to replace my income, if you'll just take the strikes, if you understand you got to swing it often, eventually you're going to replace your income. If you want to become a multimillionaire and you focus on that and you're willing to do everything that a multimillionaire does, guess what? You're going to fail along the way just like every multimillionaire has done, but you're going to make it. I'm a firm believer in that. But you have to focus on it. That's the way it is. Rule number six, this is huge, market. You know, a lot of people will call me a watchdog, or they'll say, oh, your website's so great. It doesn't matter what you call me. If I'm not making money at the end of the day, I am not fulfilling what I'm supposed to be doing. The only way to make the money is to market not just my talent, but stuff that's on our blog, stuff that Jim does, stuff that Tom does. Whatever it is, I've got to be able to market that. I've got to be able to bring the creativity in. I've got to make sure that outside forces are saying, we want to pay you for your services. Folks, that's the key. Paige can be the greatest writer in the world, but she won't become a best-selling writer unless she's out there putting her books out and some publisher buys it. Same thing rings true here. You know, I've got great people in Destin, and they sing at a local club, and they sound fantastic, but that's it. They're just at a local club because they won't market themselves nationally. The same thing rings true no matter where you're at. A creator knows that even the best products won't sell unless people know about them. Creating a product that you don't market has about as much chance of succeeding as my wife's books do if she just writes them and leaves them on her computer. There's a controversial figure in the network marketing arena. There's a few of them, but I'm going to use a gentleman instead of a woman, because if I don't, then Jim will probably get in a helicopter sometime to come shoot me. But Mike Dillard is a friend of ours and a very controversial figure. But the one thing that Mike is very good at is marketing. And when he decides to bring out a new product, he starts marketing it to his list. He goes to his top players first. Then he goes to the friends after that. And then finally, he lets all of those guys market it to their list. And then Mike sells a lot of stuff. He leverages time. He's good at his marketing. Other people know he's good at their at marketing. So they just let him do it all, and then they go out and they make the money. Name of the game. Marketing. Rule number 7, monetize. A creator, listen to this. This is your only objective. A creator has 2 objectives. Have fun, make money. That's what you want to do. You want to use your other 8 hours to have fun and make money. If you want to use at least some of, if all of your 8 hours, you can do that. If you just want to use some of it, that's great. But listen to this. The biggest mistakes are how well-intentioned people are spending a lot of time and money creating things they're not able to monetize. Jim talks about MLM Help Desk all the time. Its appraised value right now after 12 months of hard work is $17,000. Right now, due to the traffic, due to the monetization on that website, it's been appraised at $17,000. That's the minimum bid I would take for that website. That's not bad for a year's worth of work. But see, that was just the beginning. Now, we're getting so much traffic that I believe that by the end of this year, it'll be worth well over 6 figures. You got to monetize what you have. You just can't have fun. You got to have fun and make money. Otherwise, eventually, you're not having fun anymore because you're broke. There's nothing there. Rule number 8, you've got to own it. Listen to what he writes. You work for someone else, you get a paycheck. You work for someone else, you get a bonus. You work for someone else, you get medical insurance. You work for someone else, you get an expense account. You work for someone else, you get them rich. Unless you're a star athlete or an A-list entertainer, you won't get mega rich working for someone else. Now listen to this. Could be the most powerful 5 words you're going to hear today. True wealth is from ownership. The most financially successful people in the world, even entertainers, are owners. The entertainers, the authors own their own name. The true wealth is from ownership. And he uses this little scenario in the last 2 minutes. I want to use it. If you guys don't know who I'm talking about, I'm getting ready to talk about a big-time rapper, a guy that sings rap music, a gangster rapper that you probably don't like, but your kids or grandkids do. Says 50 Cent, that was his name, didn't need to go to business school to understand the importance of ownership. In a Fortune article promoting his book, The 50th Law, he and co-author Robert Greene explained that he doesn't concern himself with upfront money. He's thinking 3 years down the line. How can he own the material or own the company or get equity in it if you work for the man during the work hours and want to use the other 8 hours to explode into a new lifestyle? You need to focus on ownership. Folks, that's the key. The most successful people in entertaining, the most successful authors, doesn't matter what it is, they own it. Louis L'Amour is a Western writer that died about 20 years ago now. He had all kinds of unfinished manuscripts. He had all kinds of stuff. He had created a foundation that is owned by his family, and his name, the rights to all his books, everything, is owned by that foundation. He did that so his family would never worry about money. And to this day, millions of books a year. If becoming a creator sounds like fun, and it is, then you're going to enjoy yourself, but it takes hard work. It takes maximizing your efforts by leveraging with other people. It's a beautiful thing when it's done right. Tomorrow we're going to cover the 10 creator channels, what you can do and how you can do it to just explode as you start to go out there and maximize your other 8 hours. That's the key to this. You can't just take what we're saying on the radio show. You can't say, oh, that's a good book. You have to put it to use. If you don't, you just wasted 30 minutes of your time. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure, and we'll see you in the morning on Radio for Your Mind.